Well, g'day and welcome back. We're on for another episode of the StoneX Australian Cattle and Beef Market Report. My name is Ripley Atkinson. I'm the Australian Meats and Livestock Manager for StoneX based in Sydney, where we're developing price risk management tools for the Australian livestock industry to help the sector manage market and price volatility with our Australian feeder cattle swap. We're brought to you by StoneX Group, a NASDAQ-listed global financial services network with 100 years of experience in global commodity markets. Remember that the trading of derivatives, such as futures, options, and over-the-counter products or swaps, may not be suitable for all investors. Derivatives trading involves substantial risk of loss, and you should fully understand the risks prior to trading. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future results. Second last episode of 2025, already in December, which is somewhat scary. But on today's episode, I'll just give a quick run through, quite brief, on where the markets are at the minute, and then want to get into the recently released Q3 25 Alpha MLA feedlot brief. There's been some really interesting numbers in that, a lot of which I think has confirmed what we already knew, but there are some sort of, not discrepancies, but some detail there at a state level, which I think is important to consider when we look at the broader context of the feedlot sector and how it's performing at the minute relative to the national numbers. And then finally, I had a question come through from Sam in central New South Wales regarding the herd size and some differing views. So I'll finish up with that and just jump into that question. But to kick off with markets, I've mentioned this in my weekly market update to clients last week. I just get the feeling that the market's a little uneasy at the minute. I was probably of the view following that November rain, you know, we'd see it continue to kick along into the end of the year, but there has been a little bit of instability start to creep in. I certainly think that's got a lot to do with, you know, with these really large volumes of cattle moving, particularly through the sale yards. So for context, last week's sale yard numbers were the highest we'd had in 10 years. Over 100,000 head of cattle went through the sale yard system reported by the National Livestock Reporting Service, which is within MLA last week. So some really significant volumes there. I think that's contributing to what we're seeing, this uneasiness in the market. The other aspect, of course, is this dry weather stretching into, you know, the eastern states, sort of Western Queensland, St. George, down through northern New South Wales into the central, and sort of Riverina into the Hay Plains as well. I think that that's also adding a bit of uncertainty and a bit of cautiousness to the marketplace. And you're really seeing that reflected, you know, in restocker prices. I think they're a great example of that uneasiness just creeping in. They have come off, you know, to the tune of sort of 10 to 20 cents in the last week. And that obviously high supply and availability of cattle is contributing, but, you know, also that dry weather as we get to this time of year, it's not uncommon really with some dry weather and the patchiness of storms that continue to be mentioned in conversations I have with producers. The next focal point though in weather terms is this system coming through between the 18th and 24th of December. Now, the markets generally, particularly sale yards, will be closed by then. So we're not really going to feel or get an understanding of what impact that's going to have prior to this year ending. So we're really going to see it when the new year kicks off and the markets reopen. But if that system does deliver the forecast solid falls it's expecting for Queensland, I think we could see the new year start pretty strongly. There is a bit of an easing cycle at the minute across feeders and grids for cattle in Queensland, but I think if that rain delivered, you know, a wet Christmas, you would see markets perform pretty well as the new year kicked into gear. I'll get into the Q3 MLA Alpha feedlot results and kick off with capacity. Continued growth pretty much right across the board. There was some instances of a little bit of easing in capacity terms for some states, but generally, you know, it's that continued trend of expansion. I don't think it's surprising really to anyone anymore, and we should expect and can expect to see that capacity figure reported in these quarterly results, you know, continue to expand. New South Wales was probably the big mover in terms of growth in its capacity in Q3. Has probably lagged Queensland a little bit, if you want to look at it that way, over the last, 5 to 6 years in this expansion cycle we've seen. It certainly has expanded, but not to the same extent and rate as Queensland has. I think when we look forwards to capacity and numbers and the like into 2026, I think there's definitely the potential by the end of 2026 to see national feedlot capacity at or above 2 million head, with the expansion plans in the pipeline for a number of major feedlots over the next 6 to 12 months. And on the back of that, we should see 1.75 million head of cattle or more on feed by late 2026, early 2027. So some really significant numbers there, and that growth should continue into next year. Moving beyond that, though, to cattle on feed and utilisation numbers, this is where I think it's important to consider the state-based figures and what they mean, rather than just the national overall numbers. So we did see a slight national reduction in numbers on feed. It was down from about 1.57 million to 1.52. So it has come off a touch, but when you actually look at New South Wales and Queensland's results, numbers on feed were actually both up on the last quarter. So still performing very strong. And the overall national figure compared to the same quarter, so Q3 24, were also a fair bit higher. So the actual numbers on feed are growing year on year. They just came back a touch relative to the previous quarter, or Q2. Past the actual numbers on feed, we look at utilisation rates. So that's basically the numbers of cattle on feed divided by the capacity, and that gives you a really solid idea, obviously, as to how full feedlots are. The majors of New South Wales and Queensland were both very, very strong. You're sort of looking at 89 to 90% in New South Wales and 91 or 92% in Queensland. New South Wales utilisation rates were higher by 5% compared to Q3 24. What that says is feedlots are a fair bit fuller, particularly New South Wales feedlots are a fair bit fuller than what they were this time last year. New South Wales and Queensland, as those majors, their utilisation rates were sort of at or near historical highs, which tells you the feedlots are very full at the minute, or were very full as of Q3 24. The next one to look at is turnoff. And I think with the results that came through from this Q3 report, what it really does show to us that this expansion and this relentless growth we've seen over the last 5 to 6 years is really coming home to roost in these turnoff numbers. And for me, the turnoff figure hit a new record nationally, 962,000 head of cattle turned out of the feedlot feedlots in Q3. That's the main takeaway from this report. It does just tell you, that growth is coming home to roost, obviously in increased capacity, increased numbers on feed, and then, of course, as you can expect, an increased amount of cattle are being pushed out of feedlots. Nearly a million head for the quarter. That's a very significant number. When you compare it to the same quarter in 2024, turnoff volumes were higher by 12%, or a touch over 100,000 head of cattle. So we're turning out now more than 100,000 head more than the same quarter we were last year. It gives you an idea of how significant the growth has been in 12 months. Pulling that back to a state level, again, New South Wales, Queensland account for about 87 to 88% of total grain fed turnoff in Q3. So they're the major contributors here. New South Wales numbers were up by 22% or 49,000 head comparing quarter and quarter. Significant increase, of course, but it also aligns with those higher numbers on feed I just mentioned. Queensland, a little similar, but not to the same level of increase. Queensland turnoff numbers up by 27,000 head for the quarter compared to Q2, and that equated in percentage terms to growth of 5%. Again, much like what I'm talking about in cattle numbers on feed, New South Wales and Queensland are the major contributors here. So we might have seen some declines in other results, but overall, the two major states, which are the biggest contributors, you know, in volume terms across the country, they are, you know, having that major influence on the overall outcome. And the performance of both of those states does differ slightly to some of the others, particularly smaller ones like, you know, SA, WA and Vic. Those performance in New South Wales and Queensland is still very, very strong. When we now break those turn-off numbers down into weekly volumes, nationally, on average in Q3, we killed 74,000 head of grain-fed cattle a week. That accounted for 39% of the total, which aligns with the broader sort of trend of a natural increase in grain-fed sort of share or grain-fed cattle slaughter share of the total. But that 74,000 head figure was a new record. So it lifted about roughly sort of 6,000 to 7,000 head on average for the weekly grain-fed kill relative to Q2. When we consider where that 74,000 head sits in comparison to the weekly kill total in Q3. In Q3, on average, we killed 190,000 head and grain fed of that accounted for 74,000 on a weekly average. So the performance numbers are still very impressive. But I think what I probably want to highlight here specifically is this bit of a shift that we're seeing, particularly when you compare it to Q3 22. So grain fed turnoff numbers or weekly kill of grain fed cattle compared to Q3 2023, they increased, weekly grain fed kill increased by 26,500 head on average or 55%. Whereas your grass fed kill numbers comparing Q3 23 to Q3 25, they only increased by 17% or 17,000 head. So you can see that 55% increase in grain-fed kill is far more substantial than the 17% increase in grass-fed. Why I want to highlight that is this prioritisation by processors for grain-fed cattle to be, the prioritisation to kill grain-fed cattle within their weekly schedules relative to the grass-fed. And obviously underpinning that is the increased supply that we're seeing through high turnoff. To finish on that turnoff point, New South Wales and Queensland, they both, their grain-fed kill accounts for about 50% of their weekly kill numbers or quarterly kill numbers. Compare that to Victoria, grain-fed only accounted for 6% of their total slaughter numbers. It gives you an idea of how dominant the grain-fed system is in terms of its kill contribution in New South Wales and Queensland. And of course, Victoria is a fair bit smaller, but you also think about the volume of cattle you see coming from other states into Victoria and its overall scale of its grain-fed system is far smaller than New South Wales and Queensland. When we consider that, it does just give you a good reminder of how dominant grain-fed is in New South Wales and Queensland in comparison to obviously the other major overall processing state being Victoria. There's a lot of numbers there and they may sort of seem somewhat, you know, intimidating, but I think if we boil it down, what does this all mean? I started with the point, you know, that yes, we might have seen a reduction here and there in overall national numbers, but what this Q3 feedlot brief report does tell us is despite that downturn in cattle on feed numbers and some adjustments elsewhere, New South Wales and Queensland, which are the major states, are propping up and supporting declines you've seen in other regions. Turnoff's a good example, or cattle on feed numbers is a good example in Victoria, SA and WA. There'd been some slight softenings there, but the increases across New South Wales and Queensland offset that. Remember, Queensland and New South Wales, they account for nearly 90% of the total national numbers on feed in Q3. So their contribution and their dominance is something not to forget, despite some declines elsewhere. The turn-off volumes, as I've mentioned, they really just reflect that expansion and the fact that expansion is coming home to roost in terms of increased output. Finally, that continual shift in grain-fed production or the move towards grain-fed production That's an adjustment processes are making in their kill chains to prioritise grain-fed cattle, and I think it's something we should expect to continue to see moving into 2026. I will wrap up with a question from Sam. I've had this one. So Sam's from Central New South Wales and asked me this question a couple of months ago. I've sort of held it intentionally because it's timely to get into it now with MLA's Beef Producer Intention Survey November 25 data coming out, hopefully before the year ends. And Sam sent me an email and he asked, MLA and ABS have the cattle herd number at roughly 30 million, but I think I've heard you mention on the podcast that your number's closer to 40. Last year, we obviously had the ABS update on the way they calculate their herd, moving from a survey to a model. And Sam goes on to say, but there seems to be a bit of confusion and a few different viewpoints from Jeff Fordyce suggesting the herd's underestimated to Simon Quilty suggesting it's overestimated. I was wondering if the size of the cattle herd would be a good topic for the podcast and if you could explain the different views that are out there, why they're different and what my views are on the herd size. I think this is a great question, Sam, and I appreciate you for raising it, mainly because there is a lot of confusion, which he rightly points out, and there is a lot of different perspectives on the herd in terms of which figure to look at. As I mentioned, and as Sam points out, there is confusion, and I think the conjecture over where the herd actually sits has always been there, and I think it always will be, to be honest. I don't think we're ever going to land on a number that we're all completely satisfied with for whatever reason. There's a couple of reasons, I think, to Sam's first question is why are the views so different? The first one is those that rely on ABS's numbers typically lean on the smaller side of the overall herd size. I think the other aspect to that is the ABS figures are backwards looking, whereas MLA and ABARES numbers are forward looking. So your formal industry organisations or government agencies, they've got different ways of looking at it, and that's important. So you might see ABS's numbers at, call it 28.5 million, but they're backwards looking figures for the previous financial year. Whereas MLA's numbers generally are forward looking from, say, the September 25 projections release for 2025 in the full year or into 26 and 27. When you compare those that consider the herd size to be smaller based on the ABS, or if they use ABS numbers as a reference point, there's been a fair bit of change in the way ABS go about reporting figures. They used to consider their survey results as that informer of where the herd size sat. They've now scrapped that survey because it wasn't getting appropriate contributions or participation by producers, and they've now created a herd size model to replace that survey. On the flip side, for those that think it's larger, Jeff Fordyce is a good example. Jeff's data and numbers are based on his long history in northern beef production research and some fairly extensive scientific research he's conducted in his career, which, when you boil it down, basically looks at calculating the kilograms live weight produced per animal in the production system across the country, and underpinning that research he's done from kilograms live weight produced and putting that into some quantitative statistical analysis, he believes the herd is substantially larger than where the industry organisations sit it. Now, I've said personally a couple of times on this podcast, the benchmark I use is MLA's Beef Producer Intention Survey, and I rely on the November release. So it, as a survey, is quite specific to asking questions about the herd, you know, number of cattle by category, intended increase or decrease, number of calves born, expected number of calves to be born for, say, the next couple of months to end the year. I think it's quite a good reflection for a number of reasons, which I'll go into now as being the benchmark I reference off for the figure I use. Why I think it's the right approach has a lot to do with the fact that MLAs or MLA, when conducting the survey with a third-party provider, they get access to the levy payer register, and they use the most up-to-date levy payer numbers for producers who have paid the cattle levy in the preceding 12 months or in the past 12 months. For example, in November 2024's results from this BPIS survey, there were a touch over 80,000 levy-paying cattle producers in the country. That was then broken down to levy-paying producers by state and levy-paying producers by scale. So on a dollar basis, the levy payer register also gives MLA and its third-party provider the capacity to dig right into scaled numbers dependent on obviously how much levies they pay per annum. I think that's a really important piece of detail and information. So as of November 24, there are 80,000 producers. Now, as far as I can understand, ABARES are using a producer number that is fairly significantly outdated. The general industry consensus for grain-fed cattle levy paying numbers in the country is somewhere roughly between 40 and 50,000 producers. The most up-to-date numbers as per November 24, and we'll get another update soon when the November 25 release comes out, is they're underestimating the total number of levy-paying producers in the country, which ultimately means they're underestimating the herd size. I believe that using that figure of that most up-to-date number of levy payers, obviously by state and by scale, is the best way to use as a benchmark or a foundation to then calculate overall herd size. My view of this, where do we sit? In November 24, based on the BPIS numbers, there was 40.54 million head of cattle in the country, including calves that were born up to the 31st of October 24 and that were expected to be born up to the 31st of December 24. Now, MLA, ABARES, ABS do not include calves either born or expected to be born in their calculation. I think that's probably not the right approach. Reason being is calves are ultimately supply that we're going to realise in the future. Now, someone could make the point that, well, the cow could slip the calf or abort it. Yeah, that's true. But ultimately, well, last year, for example, there was 12 million calves born or expected to be born in that window when that November release came out. Now, I think they are cattle that are coming to market. Yes, you'll have mortalities. Yes, you'll have numbers, you know, cows slip calves. But ultimately, out of 12 million, the significance of that in actual numbers terms is limited relative to a total figure of 12 million head. The other reason why I like using this November wave is because of its timing. So we think about the Southern Australian cow herd. It has had its spring calf. There are calf markings beginning. Producers are at that really key operational time of the year where you've got the best gauge on your numbers, because that's when, you know, you're seeing those females calve down and start marking, etc. When you look at the north, it's also at the time when the mustering season is effectively wrapping up for most stations. The producers and the industry has had then its dry season and 12 months or two musters to get through. So they've got the best idea on an update in numbers for that calendar year and the expected numbers to come forward off the back of that, because they've completed both their first and second round musters and everything's pretty much wrapped up. My view in terms of the forecast for this year, my forecast is for the herd to reach 42 million head in the November 2025 BPIS wave. That'll be growth of around 3.5% or an increase of 1.46 million head year on year. That's compared to MLA's September cattle projections of this year, where they forecast the herd to remain stable at around 31 million head with no real growth year on year. Why I'm forecasting the herd to grow? Between Queensland and the Territory, those states combined account for 59% of the cattle herd. And when we think about how they've gone in 2025 seasonally, they've experienced generally, you know, a well above average season right across the board in general terms. What does that do? That gives us improved fertility rates and calving rates and marking rates in the cow herd, alongside the fact that there's been, you know, some significant improvements made in carrying capacity in country up there based on, you know, access to water, which increases grass utilization, alongside investments in genetics and general, you know, operational management sort of practices. That helps lifting carrying capacity alongside fertility, gives us a bigger calf herd and a bigger calf drop, sorry. And finally, I think the thing to remember is we see more and more producers focus on turning off feeder cattle, both to the live export sector and also the domestic feedlot industry. That allows more cows to be carried because you don't have 2 and 3 year old grass-fed bullocks consuming as much grass. And in turn, obviously more cows allows more calves to be delivered. So there's a fair bit of detail in that, but that's ultimately the breakdown of where things are at. It's relatively complex. And as I mentioned earlier, I think there's always going to be different views on this, which is understandable. But I do rely on that MLA BPIS November wave result because I feel like it gives us the best and most accurate picture of where things are at, particularly based on the levy payer numbers. I think that's the really important point to consider here, because it uses the most up-to-date numbers on the amount of producers who have paid levy by state and by scale, you're getting the most accurate picture. That's all for this week. The next episode is going to be our last of 2025. I'm going to do a review of the year that's been, discuss the big moments, what's driven the market, why, and my take on how it's performed. The first episode of 2026, we're going to release on Friday, the 16th of January. So there'll be roughly about a month off. And I'll kick off that episode with some info and my take on early markets, the winter sales and things like that. Feel free to share this podcast with your mates to get the word out there. Be sure to give it a review if you are enjoying it, and make sure you send me any feedback or comments. Appreciate, you know, any suggestions or changes or updates. But otherwise, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. Until next time, take care. We'll see you then. Cheers.